I want to read from the scriptures. If you have a Bible or New Testament, you'll find our scripture reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I'm sure you have often noticed that so many of the things the Pharisees said about the Lord Jesus Christ, although they said those things in malice and in derision, they couldn't have been nearer the truth. A case in point is right at the beginning of tonight's scripture reading, Luke chapter 15. We're told that the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man, that is, the man Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The word translated receive here could be translated by other words, as indeed it is in the New Testament. For instance, you could take out the word receives and put in the word accepts. This man accepts sinners. Isn't that a lovely statement? It was spoken by the Pharisees, it was spoken in malice, and yet it was bang on the truth. For it was true in that day, and it's true in our day, the Lord Jesus Christ still receives sinners. There were two companies of people that the Lord had to contend with when he was here upon earth. Well, of course, there were others, but there were two companies in the main he had to contend with, and they're before us in the first two verses of this chapter. There were the publicans and sinners who drew near to hear him, and then there were the Pharisees and scribes who spoke in derision of him. The Pharisees and scribes, they believed that if they would find acceptance before God, it would be on the basis of what they did. And so they gave themselves with enthusiasm to religious works of all kind. And the religious people right down to this present time believe the same thing, that if we are to be accepted before God, then it will be on the basis of what we have done. The age-old question still is, how can a man be just before God? How can a man be right before God? How can a man be accepted before God? The gospel answer is to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, this man accepts sinners. But the Pharisees, they took a different view. They took the typical religious view, and they argued that if we are to find acceptance before God, it must be on the basis of what we do. Their argument went something like this, that when the great balance sheet is cast, if our good deeds on the one hand outweigh our evil deeds on the other, then God will accept us. And so they devoted themselves to earning heaven and to meriting favor with God and acceptance before him. These Pharisees, they were very religious indeed. They attended church, they believed in God, and they gave themselves to prayer, and they also practiced tithing. Now, tithing, of course, is like the other things I've mentioned, a good thing. It's something that we would commend to Christians, and it's a principle that I have sought to follow myself, where you take a tenth of your income and devote that to the Lord and his work. They carried it beyond anything that we would, because, to put it in modern terms, if a Pharisee sold a house, let's say he had bought it at £100,000 and he sold it at £150,000. Well, he would have said that's £50,000 more than the purchase price, and a tenth or a tithe of that would be £5,000. I owe £5,000 to the treasury of the Lord's house. That's the sort of thing that they did. But alas, alas, they did all these things in the hope of obtaining favor with God and finding acceptance before him. It may be there are some friends here tonight, and you have been working along that line. Acceptance is not found along that line at all. We need to learn the truth of Top Lady's famous hymn that we were singing just a few minutes ago. He was taking shelter one day in Cheddar Gorge in the cleft of a rock, and as he stood there in the rain, he got inspiration to write those lovely lines, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." A verse of that hymn says, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." And another verse of it says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. But the Pharisees had never learned that it is by grace and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we find acceptance before God. They were working at it, seeking to earn heaven and seeking to merit favor and acceptance before God. On the other hand, the publicans and sinners, their view was that if they would be accepted, it would be in spite of what they had done. A wholly different view. They would be accepted in spite of what they had done. And so we read how they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they found acceptance in him. I think we need to define the terms that are used here. When we read here of sinners, we're probably not using the word in the technical sense in which we normally use it, for we read in the scriptures that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore we argue that we are all sinners. There is no man that liveth and sinneth not. The term as it is used here probably refers to people who were of questionable morals. They were sinners. Publicans, well, we use the term of those who own public houses. We call them publicans. But in the sense in which the term is used here, the reference is to those who gathered the public taxes. They had an area, and the Romans would have told them how much money they should bring in from that area, and so long as they brought that in, it was okay, and whatever else they gathered was their own. You can imagine then the extortion and the strong-arm tactics that were employed as they took money from people that they oughtn't to have taken. They were the publicans. And so you can understand that these people, the publicans and the sinners, they were what we might call the outcasts of society. And they realized, they knew that if they would find acceptance before God, they would have to come just as they were. And that's how they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And of course the great word of the gospel is that word C-O-M-E, come. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. At the beginning of our service tonight, I read that lovely word from Matthew 11, where the Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And these publicans and sinners heard the fond entreaty, and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they found acceptance. And the Pharisees complained. They were struggling to earn acceptance before God, and here were these people coming to this man who claimed to be God, and they were finding acceptance by coming to him. Clapham in London used to be quite a salubrious area. Diplomats and ambassadors used to live there. Charlotte Elliot was brought up in that area. On one occasion, a Dr. Malan from Geneva was visiting in the Elliot home. He was a believer, and he thought he'd like to have a word with Charlotte about spiritual things before he left. And then he thought he had his opportunity, and so he said to her, he said, Charlotte, are you a Christian? Well, she was quite indignant and quite rude to him. And after he'd gone away, she thought she should write and apologize for her rudeness. And in her letter, she said that she would really love to come to Christ, but she didn't know how. And Dr. Malan wrote a very nice letter and told her Come just as you are. And those words registered in her mind. I think it was maybe 12 years later, when she was under conviction of sin and realized that the answer to her spiritual condition lay in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she came to him. And shortly after that, she wrote that lovely hymn that we love to sing, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That's what the publicans and sinners did. They came just as they were. They came in repentance and in faith, and they found acceptance, for this man accepts sinners. He accepts sinners right down to this day. And this passage teaches us that they not only came to him, but they heard his word. And what gracious words that proceeded out of our Savior's mouth. You remember how the leper came to him and said to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, and he said, I will, be thou clean. What a lovely word that was to fall upon the ears of that needy leper. Then there was the case of the dying penitent at Calvary, who cried out and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Savior's gracious word to him was this, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And these publicans and sinners came to the Lord Jesus just as they were, and they heard his gracious words of pardon. What they heard was not a cheap forgiveness. Ah, no. Because behind the forgiveness lay the atoning death that he would accomplish at the place called Calvary. And when we preach a full and a free forgiveness through faith in Jesus' name, beloved friends, it is not a cheap forgiveness. It is a forgiveness that was paid for by the shedding of our Savior's precious blood when he died upon the cross. The scripture tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In order to save sinners, he had to die for sinners. And now on the basis of the atonement he accomplished in his death, he is able to bestow a full and a free forgiveness on them who come to him in repentance and in faith. Beloved friends, I say it's not a cheap forgiveness. And forgiveness is found only in coming to our Savior, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the Apostle Paul preaching to the Jews at Antioch, and this is what he said. He said, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Then we hear Peter, who was actually the apostle to the Jews, we hear him preaching to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. And he pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And there is a full and a free forgiveness, not a cheap forgiveness, but a full and yet free forgiveness found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to him in repentance and in faith, we find acceptance before him. And so there were these two distinct companies of people that the Lord had to contend with. The Pharisees and the scribes, whose philosophy was that if they would find acceptance before God, it would be on the basis of what they did. On the other hand, there were the publicans and sinners, and they knew that if they would find acceptance, it would be in spite of what they did. And so, taking their place as poor sinners, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, responded to his invitation. They came just as they were, and they found acceptance and a full and free forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the essential teaching of the Savior in this passage. And in order that it might be clarified, the Lord Jesus went on to tell the parable of the prodigal son. Now, you probably know it so well, you realize that this parable is in two parts. There is what we're told about the prodigal son on the one hand, and there is what we're told about his elder brother on the other. The younger son said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And the father divided his living among the boys. The younger son gathered everything together, went into a far country, wasted his substance in riotous living. And then there was a famine, and he began to be in want, and he found himself without resources of his own and without friends. And he sat down and considered his position. And he thought to himself, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned." Do you know, when the prodigal got to that point in his experience, he was already on his way. When he got to the point where he said, "I have sinned." Now, he wasn't the first to say that, and he's not the only man in Scripture to have said that. We read of Pharaoh way back in the days of the plagues in Egypt. He called Moses and Aaron in, and he said, "Look, I have sinned." But he didn't mean it. We know that he didn't mean it, because as soon as he got over the difficulty that was pressing upon him at that point, he was back in his old ways again. But the prodigal meant it, because he turned from the life he had been living, and he set his face towards his father and home. The father saw him while he was still a great way off, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he called the servants, and he said, "Bring forth the best robe, put a ring in his hand and shoes in his feet. Bring the fatted calf and let us eat, drink and be merry." And there was a great rejoicing at the return of the prodigal. Now, outside the house was the elder brother. And when he heard the music and dancing, he inquired of the servants what it meant, and they told him. And he was angry. The father went out and invited him to the feast, but the scripture says he would not go in. Why would he not go in? Well, you see, he started parading his own good works and the things that he had done. "Look," he said to his father, "I've served you all these years. I've never transgressed your commandment. Look at what I have done. Look at how good a boy I have been." And although the father entreated him to come in, the scripture says he would not go in. And that's the last word we read about the elder brother. Now, it's not difficult to see that the elder brother answers to the Pharisees and scribes of whom I was speaking, who believed that if they would find acceptance, it would be on the basis of what they had done. Nor is it difficult to see how the prodigal represents the publicans and sinners For the prodigal came just as they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came just as he was in all his need, and he found acceptance. And beloved friends, that's how you and me need to come to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come just as we are, just as sinners, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's not just enough to say, well, of course, nobody's perfect. It's not enough to say, well, we all have our blind spots. Everybody has their weaknesses. No, I had to get to the place where I acknowledged that I was the sinner whom Jesus came to save. And when I got to that place, then I was a candidate for God's salvation. And I came to Jesus as I was and found acceptance in him. And what a wonderful thing it is to find that acceptance. Up until our coming to Christ, we were without him, exposed to wrath and judgment. But when we came to Christ, we found ourselves now in him. And in Christ, we read in the New Testament, we are accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved, accepted in the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so I ask you tonight, in the closing moments of this meeting, which of these two companies are you a member of? Are you like those who are still working and struggling and endeavoring to earn your way to heaven? Or are you like those who have come to realize that if they're to find acceptance, it will be in spite of what they have done, and who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as they are and find acceptance before him, acceptance before a holy God.